Turn quickly, chapter 8. Good to have this dear family on my right. God bless you, folks. Look forward to meeting you when service is complete. The book of Romans 8, and let's go to verse 9. I want to preach on this thought. Putting the flesh to death is joy unspeakable. Putting the flesh to death is joy unspeakable. I'm here to tell you, you don't know what joy is until you are good and sanctified, good and set apart, when you really turned your life over to the Lord. Nobody much preaches sanctification today. You know the reason? I'll never forget. I was pastoring Black Mountain, and I got the Billy Graham paper. He lived right on the hill up above where our church was. That's where his home is, in Montreat. And I got his paper, and somebody asked him the question, why don't we hear anything about sanctification today? And you know what Billy Graham answered? He said, because sanctification is above the level where the church is living today. I thought, wow, what an indictment. What an indictment. Sanctification, a life that is dead with Christ. A life where the flesh has been sanctified. Crucified is a better word. Both are in the Bible. A life where literally unspeakable joy floods the life of that believer. That will turn a church upside down. Now, I've been saved 62 years. I was saved in an old-fashioned Pentecostal church, and they preached sanctification regular. I remember getting sanctified right down on the altar. I mean, I had a flesh that was as big as a bear in me. It was dominant. It ruled my life. It ruled my life. But when the Lord sanctified me, it took a back seat. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's tried to get up a lot of times. And it has been up on a little edge a few times. It's made its best to make its way back at the center of my life. But by the grace of God, I didn't just get sanctified. I've been regularly sanctified. Sanctification is a highway you walk on. From the time you arrive on it until you're glorified in the presence of the eternal God. You never say, I'm completely sanctified. I don't even have to worry about the devil anymore. You can worry about the devil as long as you live in this life. And he doesn't have a better friend than the old Adamic nature that happens to be in you. And you've been saved, but you're still having to deal with that old Adamic nature. And you got to keep it dead or you're going to be in some kind of deep trouble. Anybody understand this kind of language? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Do you understand this kind of language? All right, let me read to you. The book of Romans 8. I'll start with verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body, which is the flesh, is dead. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The body or the flesh is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The first thing I'm going to deal with is the distinction of your flesh and your spirit. I'm going to do my best to help you understand the distinction of those two. I hope to get past that, but I want to take care of that clearly, because if you ever understand the distinction between your body, flesh, and the spirit of life that God has given you, and you really become committed to the positive side, the spiritual side, you'll never be the same. You'll never be off backslidden. You'll not be an up and down church member. You'll not be in and out around the house of God. And you won't be running about like a fleeting cloud, never able to find your place. I'm telling you, when you get good and sanctified, you're a new creature. I know you get saved, you're a new creature. When you get saved, he forgives all of your committed sins, every one of them. You are as though you never sinned when you get saved. Solomon, you realize that now. You are as though you never sinned unless you've sinned this week. And I doubt you have. I feel you turn to God with all your heart. Same to you, Bobby. I'm here to tell you that he forgives all your sins. But that Adamic nature has got to be dealt with. And that's what sanctification does. The same blood that washes you from sin then breaks the power of that old man of flesh and sets you free from his dominating power and gives you in the spirit realm the grace to live clean and pure and holy and to walk with God. And I'm here to tell you, when you walk with God, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But if the Spirit, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall, it dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Bodies being all of us, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now you talk about truth. I'm going to let you be seated as soon as I explain that. You talk about truth. If the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Ghost that raised up Jesus Christ out of the tomb dwell in you. He that raised up Jesus out of the tomb, that same Holy Ghost, quickens your mortal body. That means he makes you alive. Well, you're not acting like a corpse any longer. You're not going to a funeral home when you go to church. You're going to the house of God. You're going to worship and praise the Lord. Anybody hearing me? So, listen. My title again. Putting the flesh to death is joy unspeakable. You may be seated. I really want to emphasize the joy unspeakable. The church world is in desperate need of joy. Much of the saints who sit on church pews just kind of sit there and they just kind of wither, spiritually speaking, until they're just there. That's about all. There's no excitement. There's no worship because there's no joy unspeakable. When he says joy unspeakable, he's talking about something that'll get you off your seat and get you on your feet. He's talking about something that'll pick those hands up that's lazily laying beside you and put them up. He's talking about something that'll put a sparkle in your eye, put a joy in your lips, put a praise in your heart. And that's what the church world needs. Desperately. Desperately. Now, where does that joy come from? It comes from the Spirit of life that dwells in a believer who's been set apart for God. It comes from the Spirit of life that quickens the mortal body. The mortal body is this body that's going to die. But the life of the Holy Ghost quickens this old mortal body. You say, why are you always jumping around up there? Because there's a Spirit of life inside of me, and I don't care how sick I've been and how tired I might be and how lazy I might feel. It won't let me be still. It won't let me sit here and act like I've died spiritually. It's just moving and blessed and it's alive, and I'm quickened in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, let's understand the difference in your flesh and your spirit. God created you the likeness of the triune God. He made you a beautiful body. He made you a beautiful life. He made you, and there's nothing more beautiful than men and women who live a clean life and who look the part of a believer, who look the part of a child of God. It's just beautiful. It really is. God made you to be that way. He beautifies the meek with salvation, the Bible says. And it's a beautiful thing. But the flesh itself is empty of its own. Without God, without the Spirit, you just need to be put in a casket before you start stinking. That's just how it is. The flesh is the flesh, and it is helpless of its own. The Bible said a man in the flesh cannot please God. If all you do is live by your flesh and for your flesh, making living and buying a new car and all the things you do day by day, looking for pleasure, looking for something to have fun with, looking for something to entertain yourself. I mean, if all you do is live for this flesh, and you understand that, you know how we are dedicated and busy in today's world following the flesh. The news on television and in the publications is trying to get you to think if you don't go to Las Vegas, you can't really have a good time. If you don't go to the next ball game, you're just an old plug. And if you don't do this and you don't do that, and there is a multiplicity of things for the flesh to do to live out the flesh. But the Bible says, if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. And so if that's all you're doing, you're just satisfying the flesh. You really are. Now, what is the difference in the flesh and the spirit? God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Didn't say a soul. He said a living soul. So when God put his spirit in you, when God put his spirit in man, something came alive. The lights lit up. The eyes began to sparkle. The smile began to reflect. The joy began to flow. And before man sinned, Adam and Eve were two exciting creatures. And they were so enjoyable that God would step out of his heavenly Jerusalem and walk down to their garden and walk with them in the cool of the day. Now I'm telling you, they won't some dead plug when God came to walk with them. That God came because it was joyful to be with them. Did you know it's a joy to be with an old-fashioned Christian? Did you know you get with an old-fashioned Christian that's full of the Holy Ghost? And I'm telling you, you'll have some kind of good time. I preached out in Chelsea, Oklahoma, Thursday night at one of our churches, and a great crowd of people. And I'm telling you, if God ever helped me preach, he did. And that place it went up in smoke. I'm not talking about the world smoke. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost smoke. Hallelujah. And being with those saints of God, you go eat after you have this great feast before the Lord, and you don't want to leave them. It's just a joy to be with saints. That's how Adam and Eve were. God came down and walked with them because they were a joy. They wasn't just an animal with flesh. They were filled with the spirit of life from God. That's before man sinned. That's before the sin we call the Adamic sin. That's before the nature became an Adamic nature and the flesh became an enemy to the spirit realm. Now, in this world, I'm here to tell you the flesh and the spirit are absolutely opposite in your life. And there's a war going on inside of every unbeliever and many times the Christian who is not really walking close to God. It's a war. You're talking about being miserable. You try to live a Christian life without any spirit of God, without any anointing of the Holy Ghost, without the sanctifying grace of the Lord, and it's a battle. Your flesh is a burden. Say that with me, would you? My flesh is a burden. Come on, say it out loud. My flesh is a burden. Oh, it is. You're trying to live a spiritual life and there's no worship and there's no praise. You don't take time to read your Bible. You don't take time to get on your knees and pray through. You don't have to come to church. And it's a burden. And you're constantly dealing with this old burden of your flesh. And it can drive you into depression and all kinds of physical problems. That's why this world is a depressed world. If you knew how much dope this world takes just to sleep, it would amaze you. If you knew how many people drank their whiskey and their beer and their wine just to try to smooth the burden of the day and try to soothe the burden of life and to somehow help them bear the burden of their old flesh, that's basically the only reason they drink that stuff. They smoke cigarettes for the same reason. It's all just something to ease the burden of the flesh. That's all. Do you understand what I'm saying? I really want you to get this, because if you go home miserable, I want you to know why you're going home miserable. If you have a terrible week all week, and you just all caught up, and you all caught, you all burdened over, and you can hardly survive, please understand, that's the way the flesh does you. That's the way the flesh does everybody. It rules it. It just is a burden world. But God has another side of this story. And that other side is the spirit that comes when a man or woman is willing to die in their flesh. Your flesh has got to die. I'm not talking about physical now. I'm talking about spiritual. It can't rule your life any longer. You don't get up in the morning and your flesh say, hey, you need a beer to be able to handle it today. And so you go to the refrigerator and get you a beer and you do it just so you can handle it. When you get full of God, you don't need that beer. I'm here to tell you. Somebody says, can I drink a beer and walk with God? You don't need no beer when you walk with God. That's the beauty of it all. You don't need no shot of whiskey. My daddy was a bootlegger. He made white lightning. Said he made some of the best there was. I found his still one time way out in the woods. Had a bunch of big old wooden barrels full of peaches. And they were working off and fermenting. So he could put them in that still. And had all the process of it. And he made it. But oh, it did nothing but harm in our family. And everybody that drunk it. Because we were living by the flesh. But I'm here to tell you, the spirit of life. You see the beauty of this. Is you already have that spirit in you. But the Bible said it's dead in transgressions and sins. Your spirit, until you're born again, is there from God. That's why you can't get away from nothing. It was kind of cute. Something happened to me getting on the plane in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Friday morning. There was this young lady in front of me. I would say she was 26. Just a very lovely young lady. And she had the most beautiful long hair hanging down her back. Had it fixed beautifully. I mean, she really was beautiful. And I just spoke and said, lady, do you realize how beautiful your long hair is? She said, you know, I've tried to cut it several times and something inside of me won't let me. I said, you know what that is that won't let you? She said, what? I said, that's the conviction of the spirit of life from God that is in you. That don't want you to go that route, because that's the route of the world. That's the route of those who don't know God. You know, the Bible does say a woman's long hair is her glory. And I'm not here to preach about that. I'm just trying to give you an example of what I know is God's spirit that's in you and even the sinner. You won't talk with many sinners that don't realize they're sinners and they don't lack what they are. The only sinner that lacks what he is the one who has lived it so long and so completely destroyed his conscience that he don't care. Those are the only sinners that love their sins are those who literally have lived in it so long it's taken complete hold of them. But the sinner who is still sensitive has a feeling inside of him, I need God. I need God. Did you know you needed God last Sunday? You wrote on your little card the Wednesday night, I need to become a Christian. Did you know you needed God? A sinner knows he needs God. Why does he know? Because God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life and you became a living soul. Hallelujah. Now that spirit of life that's in you is what I want you to understand. That's what God gets a hold of you when you really get good and saved and you really get good and sanctified and that old flesh is put to death. I mean, you lay him on the altar and you say to him, you there and you stay there. I put this flesh on the altar. I want it to be dead, and I claim the blood of Jesus to put it to death and to drive the nails in the coffin of that old flesh, and I proclaim it dead, and now I receive the life of God into my spirit, into my life, into my being, and now I'm going to be full of the spirit of life in my spirit. Somebody raise a hand up high if you're listening to what I'm preaching. Come on, way up high. Come on, way up high. Are you hearing me? You got a spirit in you that came from God. But the only way that spirit can be set aflame is you let this old flesh die. If you got to have this flesh rule in your life, God's waiting on you. Waiting on you to be willing to die. I want you to know something. I've been saved 62 years. But I've never longed, Brother Mark, I have never longed for this righteousness of the Spirit of life in me more than today. I felt it all day yesterday. I felt it this morning. I'm longing for that Spirit of life by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You'll find joy like you have never had in your life. If you live by the flesh, you're going to die. I'm here to tell you, your flesh will put you to death. Your flesh will drag you to the core of nothing. It'll drop you off the cliff into the gates of hell. It'll destroy you. But you let Jesus come over and come along and come in and take over by the blood, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and He'll set your spirit afire. And you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody's got to listen to me preach. This old flesh is terrible. This old flesh is arrogant. This old flesh wants to be in control of everything. This old flesh is determined to have its way. Did you know the word independent? It's not even in your King James Bible. Did you know that? I guarantee you not many of you knew that. It's not even in there. Because there ain't no room for it. When this flesh dies, independence goes out the window. 62 years I've been a Christian. I've never resisted a state overseer. I've never resisted a leader. I've never resisted good godly people in the upper echelon of the church who gave me advice and gave me help. I've always said, I need it. I'm not an independent man. When we were out of the Church of God denomination, I was miserable. I was wanting somewhere and somebody. I like to have a brother Eugene Smith to call him and say, Eugene, I got to have some direction. Or brother Joey Yates, or brother Finn Cannon, or brother Gans. These men are over me. I know they tell me I'm over them, but I feel like they're over me. Ain't no such thing as big I's and little U's around God's church. How many know that? You're just as important as anybody else around here. You're just as important. I know. You know why you're darker than me? You probably got cooked longer than I got. There's no other difference. We're just one big family. We're just one big family. That's all. I don't believe in prejudice. No, sirree, I can't stand it. I said, I can't stand it because we're one. We're one big family. Oh, we're one big family. And see, we all have the Spirit of life in us. And if you'll get full of this joy of the Lord, I got to talk a minute about the Spirit of man. See, the flesh feeds on pleasure. The flesh feeds on things. The flesh feeds on how much in the bank. The flesh feeds on pretty things that you just got to have. That's what the flesh feeds on. You know what your spirit feeds on? The Bible, prayer, and worship. Now, I want somebody to repeat those three things with me. My spirit, that I hope I didn't say those words wrong. Flesh, you know what it feeds on. Now, the spirit, you know what it feeds on. It feeds on that book. If you don't read that book, you'll wither and die spiritually. You got to have that book. You got to have that book. That book is the Bible. It's the bread of life. Did you know that? Say it with me. The Bible is the bread of life. Say it out loud. The Bible. Come on, out loud, everybody. The Bible is the bread of life. I said the Bible is the bread of life. The Bible is the water of life. The Bible is joy unspeakable. The Bible is just absolutely Holy Ghost strength. The Bible will feed you. And if you don't read that Bible and love that Bible, you're going to die spiritually. The Spirit has to be fed. I said your spirit has to be fed. Somebody says, I'm saved and I don't even want to go to church. You ain't no more saved than a goat if you don't want to go to God's house. Unless you've just completely killed your conscience, because you aren't saved then anyway. But I want you to understand, you got to have that word. And the Bible said God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What I'm doing right now is I'm helping save them that already believe with the word of God. Are you getting this message? Your spirit's got to be fed. Your spirit's got to have prayer time. Your spirit has got to talk to the Maker. Your spirit's got to get somewhere and get along with God and talk to Him, because it feeds your inner man. Hallelujah. Oh, it feeds this in here. Oh, it gives you life, Brother Bobby. Hallelujah. If he don't make a good one, he's sure putting on a good one, isn't he? Hallelujah. I believe he's going to. I really do. See, the Bible and prayer will feed your soul. But then he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You got to have church. And you don't need church hip-hop and you know, like an elevator up and down. You need to be in the house of God when those doors open. He planted you in the church. The Bible said, they that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. Hallelujah. I love the house of God. I made a covenant with the house of God 62 years ago. And I used to ride a bicycle 30 miles to go to church. How many of you would ride a bicycle 30 miles to go to church? Some of you wouldn't walk two blocks. I don't mean to be mean, but I know that's how it is today. I mean, yes, any kind of old excuse. Oh, you see, but the Spirit, three things that feeds the Spirit: the Bible and prayer and worship. Let's just feed the Spirit a minute here with a little worship. What do you say? Raise the right hand and tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you want Him to feed your spirit until it's so alive and it's just bouncing off the wall. I know you think sometimes I bounce off the wall. You wait till you get your spirit good and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll help me bounce off the wall. Hallelujah. Some of you don't bounce because your bounce is gone. Hallelujah. But good food from the Word and good prayer from the Holy Ghost and good worship with the saints will put life back inside of you, and you'll have joy. Unspeakable joy, full of glory. Glory. Woo! It's 11 o'clock in Mississippi, so don't worry about time. Oh, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. Did you hear me? Only 11 o'clock in Mississippi, so let's have church. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me, church. The Spirit is where life is. We don't understand things we can't see. Not well, anyway. But the way you see my spirit is watch how I worship. See, because it's invisible. It's a God-breathed part of me. And that spirit, though, can't do a thing till this old flesh dies. As long as my flesh is determined to rule the roost, the Spirit of God cannot anoint the spirit of Joe Chambers. And so I'm just wrestling around trying to, you know, somebody says, I go to church and I feel miserable, and I go home and I feel miserable. I'm miserable if I don't go to church. I'm miserable if I do go to church. You know what you need? You either need to be saved or you need to be sanctified. You need that old man on the altar. You need to lay him there and say, you rascal, you've made a mess for me. You've got me in trouble over and over again. You just tell that flesh off. You tell that flesh what it really is. You tell it how stubborn it is, how determined to rule your life it is, and then you tell it to shut up. Amen. And don't say that to people. My wife gets me when I even use that term. Don't you, baby? But listen, you tell that flesh to be quiet. Just hush. You don't rule here anymore. Jesus is in charge. Now, how many of you would like to do that with me right now? Some of you have never been sanctified, and He's willing to sanctify you by the blood this very morning. Right here, right now, He's willing to sanctify you and set you apart and get your spirit ready. And let me tell you something. You get good and sanctified, and you're going to have a hard time keeping the Holy Ghost out. God's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The reason God can't baptize many people, and that's not always the case. I'm not charging nobody. But the reason He can't is because there's so much flesh. When you're clothed with that old flesh and it rules. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, listen to me, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that not a verse of scripture? Let's say it together. Apostle Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Right now, by the blood of Jesus, I am crucified with Christ. Raise your hand if you can say it with me. You said, I've been sanctified. You need it again, because I know you like the back of my hand. And there ain't nobody here that don't need it again. Raise your right hand and say it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Sanctify him, Lord. Hallelujah. Misha katakundaroma. Pray, stretch your hand toward him. Sanctify Solomon, Lord, by the blood of Rachel. This is good stuff, brother. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody help me, will you? Praise the Lord, Sister Lynch. I had to think a minute. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The old flesh is a burden to bear. Somebody says, I want to live like I please, Brother Chambers. I don't want nobody telling me what I got to do. Okay, that's your flesh. If you'd rather bear it like that than give it to God, that's your business. I can't stop you. The church world's full of people who are none but flesh. They wonder why they can't worship. They wonder when we shout and why they can't shout. Oh, I'm telling you, the flesh has got you loaded down. It's like being under 1,000 pounds of weight. Do you know, I've always heard it preached that there's no joy like the joy of getting sanctified. That's what I heard all my life. There's joy in sanctification. Once you are crucified with Christ, you believe this, don't you, brother? It's joy, unspeakable, full of glory. I know I ain't gone very far with my sermon, but I'm not going to worry you going way beyond it. I want to tell you, God wants to sanctify in this house this morning. I want every person. Now, you know, if you believe in sanctification, and that you get it one time, and then you become petrified, you believe in something that's not in the Bible. He don't petrify you. Ain't that right, Brother Mark? You got to live in this every day. Reach up, on a regular basis. Lord, give me a fresh touch of righteousness this morning. It's nothing but his righteousness. That's all it is. Sanctification is just the holiness of God imparted to you so that it rules in your life. That's all sanctification is. It's just God's righteousness taking over and ruling your life. It's the life of righteousness in your life, and it floods you from head to toe, and you become a brand new creature, and it becomes a joy to live an old-fashioned Christian life. And when somebody says, let's go to that rock concert downtown, you say, I don't go to places like that. Why don't you go? I'm dead. I'm dead. That's why I don't go. I'm dead to that junk. I'm dead to that. And let me tell you, this is funny. Somebody told me the other day about a man who used to come to church here. Hadn't been long ago either. And he gave a prophecy at his new, I presume it's a charismatic church. He gave a prophecy. And he said that he saw it like a screen that came down in front of him. And he read it to the people. You see, listen. That's nothing but flesh. Can you see that? It's nothing but flesh. See, the Holy Ghost don't operate in your flesh. The Holy Ghost operates in your spirit. And when the Holy Ghost speaks through your spirit, it will be miraculous and real, and you won't need a screen to read it off of. That's nothing but flesh. And somebody that knows this person, you please tell him for me, will you? And tell him if he needs to discuss it, I would love to let him understand it. Because it's dangerous. When your flesh, that you go to the charismatic place and they speak in tongues when they get ready. All they say, if you want the Holy Ghost, just start jabbering, saying something incoherent, it'll turn into the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes, he's got his own language. And when the Holy Ghost starts talking, it'll be the Holy Ghost talking. It won't be something you read on a billboard, and it won't be something somebody whispered in your ear. It'll be straight from the throne room. It'll be the language of heaven, because the Holy Ghost is real. Hallelujah. If you want to know and be sanctified afresh, and this is for everybody, saved or not saved, stand up in the name of the Lord and say, I want God to set me apart. I want to be sanctified of the flesh that I might live in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you're standing up in your heart, Brother Beasley. Don't worry about that. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. This sanctifying grace will change everything about you. I am crucified with Christ. Say it. Yet I live. Yet not I. But the holy life of God lives in me. Hallelujah. Now I live this life in the joy and strength of God's Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody praise him with me. Now how many can raise their hand and say, I claim his sanctifying blood right now. Raise your hand way up high. I claim his sanctifying blood right now. I claim his sanctifying blood right now. You claim it and you live in it and you go in it and it will rule your life and you'll find such joy. It'll be unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. You heard this all your life, didn't you, Judy? How many of you heard this all your life? Your mother used to believe it, didn't she, Brother Roy? Brother Roy's mother was one of those Holy Ghost filled women. She'd give a message in tongues and it would shake the whole church. Because it was from heaven. And she didn't read it on a billboard. Oh, that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Make sure that dear man finds this truth out, because he's being deceived. He don't know it. He needs to be helped. Now help me. Let's pray together all over the building before they sing. Father, Joe Chambers lives in your sanctifying blood every day. Father, I can't handle 2 or 3 days without it. It begins to reverberate. And the old flesh tries to stand up. But your sanctifying blood puts him right back where he belongs. Dead by the righteousness of the Son of God. Now, folks, how many received this sermon from God? Let me see your hand. Now, I want to have an altar call first. There's somebody in this building that needs to be saved. You're going to lose your soul and spend eternity in a lake of fire if you quit putting it off. You need Christ. You need to turn your life over to Jesus. And I'm inviting you. Sing. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Play and sing. I'm inviting you to come. Step out. I'm coming to Christ. Step out. I'm coming to Christ. I'd love for somebody to be saved again this morning. I'm coming to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Nobody? 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 Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. God, working totally. Now I want everybody in the building who just wants to live in this life of crucified walk with Christ to leave your pew and come to this altar. Find a place to kneel. Here's these front rows. Take this front pew. Find a place to kneel. Come in front of the altar and kneel before the altar. Stand if you want to. I want everybody in the building. I really want everybody in the building. Sing for me, Brother Jim.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Hallelujah. And now.
And oh.
Come on down, folks, near the front. Get right in here like you're at home. I wish nobody would say back then, but come. You need this. You need this. He'll crucify. He'll sanctify. He'll put death to that old man. He'll fill you with a life that's so exciting you never get over it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it with all your heart.
Will he touch me?
Hallelujah. He touched me.
Oh,
he touched
me.
Sanctify, Bobby. I know the war he's had in his life, but I believe you to set him apart, put that old man to death, and let the life of God flood him. Do it. Hallelujah. 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 Something. Said rhymes about. I pray for Sal. Work metaphoria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for Dylan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He touched me. Everybody pray now, would you? Slip hands up and pray.